Good morning, and welcome to Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. This is Pastor Reggie Lawrence of St. Mark's, and today I want to introduce you to my best friend. No, it's not my wife, although my wife is a very good friend and loyal companion for over 30 years. No, it's not one of my church members, although we have a loving church and a very friendly church. It's not a co-worker or a neighbor. No, you may have guessed by now that my best friend is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's been my friend since long before I was his friend, and I'm still learning how to be his friend. That's what I want to talk about today. How to be a friend, how to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. I'd like us to look in John's first letter, 1 John chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse 5. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. You follow along at home. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. How to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. There are five principles that are given us in this passage of Scripture, and I want to look at those, each one in turn, so that we can get a better understanding of how to begin to have a fellowship with Jesus Christ, and if you're in fellowship with him, how to maintain that fellowship, how to deepen it, how to make it richer and fuller. The first principle is that we must understand that this is an old, old, ancient premise. And the premise is this, that sin breaks fellowship between God and his children. That's what happened in the garden between God and Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were disobedient. They were deceived by Satan and disobeyed God's command not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that sin broke fellowship with God. And that sin and the nature that sprung from that sin has been passed on to all the children of Adam, even down until this very day, so that we are born without a relationship with God, a fellowship with God. John uses the metaphor of light to talk about the person of God, and it's an apt metaphor to help us understand how this principle works. It's a powerful metaphor. He says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I want us to imagine two rooms, each adjacent to the other. And one room is full of light, just as bright and as lighted, well lit as it could possibly be. And the other room is in total darkness. And in between these two rooms, there is a door. And some people who are in the room that is dark approach the doorway into the room where the light resides. And looking through a crack in that door, they see that there is light there. Now, what happens when and if they open that door? They open the door. The darkness from the dark room does not spill into the light room. No, the light from the light room spills in to the dark room. The darkness begins to retreat. The darkness is defeated. We know that Jesus Christ is light. God is light. And the darkness cannot comprehend the light. Now, the light in Scripture represents many things. Light represents righteousness. Darkness represents sin. Light represents life. Darkness represents death. Light and darkness are opposites, and the light overcomes the darkness. God is light, and in him is no darkness, no sin, no unrighteousness, no death at all. This principle is summed up with this idea. You can't have fellowship from the dark room. If you want to have fellowship with God, you got to come into the light. You don't have fellowship. You are fooling yourself if you think you can have fellowship with God from the dark room. That brings us to the second principle. We must not only enter the room, but we must walk in the light. We must walk. To walk in Scripture indicates life or lifestyle. The way we live, the way we move, the way we travel along the way we put one foot in front of the other and move through the events, the scenes, and the circumstances of our lives. This is not just any light that we walk in, but this is His light. This means walking in the light of His example, walking in the light of His teachings, walking in the light of His word. Walking in the light triggers the continuous flow of the cleansing power of His blood. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we walk in His light, in His example, in the light of His teachings, in His followings, we have fellowship with one another. But not only that, but the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It triggers that relationship. Triggers the application of His mercy to our circumstance because we are following Him. We are exiting the darkness and we're coming fully into the light. The third principle is that you need a relationship like this. Don't fool yourself. Verse 8 puts it very well. If we say, the Scripture reads, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We fool ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We have no basis for making wise decisions because we are separated from the truth. That third principle is that you need a relationship. You need to be in fellowship with God and in order to get the benefit. I try to think of a good metaphor, and I came up with this one. It's as if you walked up to a walled city, and there were two gates, and one gate had over it inscribed the words self-sufficiency. The other gate had inscribed over it the words grace-sufficiency. In other words, it appears that you could enter this walled city by either the gate of self-sufficiency or grace-sufficiency. But that's an illusion. When you try the gate of self-sufficiency, you can't get in. It's not a gate at all. It's just the image. It's just an apparent gate. It's a mirage. There is no access to the city through self-sufficiency. You must come in by grace-sufficiency. It brings to mind Paul's words taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My grace is sufficient. My free gift, my love in action is sufficient for you. That's how we enter into this relationship whereby we gain the benefits of our salvation. The fourth principle is that confession leads to forgiveness. Confession is agreement. Confession is agreement as to our sins. He says in the text, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must come into an agreement with God that our sins are sin. We can't fool ourselves and pretend, well, it's okay. I like it. I've been doing it a long time. It doesn't hurt anybody. But if God says it's sin, it's sin. And if it is sin, then we have to come to God's agreement and in agreement with God as to the nature of what we do, what we feel, what we think, that it is not pleasing to him. We come into an agreement and then we are able to maintain our fellowship. And he is faithful and just in that instance to forgive us of our sins. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 puts it this way. Can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Can you walk with God? Really? Do you think you could walk with God unless you're in agreement with him? Deny your sin before God and the walk is over. God is not walking when you are in denial as to the very sin that separates you from him. The fifth principle of these, all of these principles apply universally and imply our universal obligation and our universal duty to minister these principles to the world. These principles apply to everyone, and we all stand on level ground at the foot of the cross. He says in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. All of us, Romans 3:23 say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 wraps that up by saying the wages of sin is death. All of us deserve to die, deserve separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. These principles apply universally, and they trigger for us and in us a universal duty to spread the gospel so that all can get the benefit of the grace and mercy of God. This is a wonderful passage worthy of our deepest study. I encourage you to study it. I thank you for listening and encourage you to keep on listening. Come back tomorrow and we'll return to another passage of scripture which indicates the love God has for us and how we can benefit fully and profit from his love. Again, this is Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. We are located at 655 North Bentlow Street, at the corner of Landvale in West Baltimore. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 11 o'clock. We invite you to come. We're a friendly and loving church. We'd enjoy having you. And until we get together again, this is Pastor Reggie Lawrence of St. Mark saying, keep looking up.